This is Audible.
Penguin Random House Audio presents Out of the Maze, An Amazing Way to Get Unstuck by Spencer Johnson, M.D. Read for you by Tony Roberts, with an afterword read by Ken Blanchard.
"I can't believe that," said Alice.
"Can't you?" the Queen said in a pitying tone. "Try again. Draw a long breath and shut your eyes." Alice laughed.
"There's no use trying," she said. "One can't believe impossible things."
"I dare say you haven't had much practice," said the Queen. "When I was your age, I always did it for half an hour a day. Why, sometimes I've believed as many as 6 impossible things before breakfast."
Lewis Carroll.
"Imagination is more important than knowledge. Knowledge is limited. Imagination encircles the world."
Albert Einstein.
The story behind Out of the Maze. The story of Who Moved My Cheese was originally created by Dr. Spencer Johnson to help him deal with a difficult time in his life. After years of sharing his little fable with others and seeing how much it helped them in their lives and work, he made the story into a short book. Within 6 months of publication, Spencer's little parable had more than 1 million hardcover copies in print, and within 5 years, more than 21 million copies. In 2005, Amazon reported that Who Moved My Cheese was their #1 best-selling single book title of all time. Over the years, Spencer's beloved classic has found its way into homes, companies, schools, churches, the military, and sports teams. It has spread around the world in many foreign languages. Its readers and fans have reported that the wisdom they found in reading the story has improved their careers, businesses, health, and marriages. Its appeal has been universal. Yet Spencer felt there were still some unanswered questions. Many people who read the original story, he wrote in his notes for this sequel, wanted to know more about why and how. Why do we adapt sometimes and do well in changing times, while at other times we don't? And how can we adapt in a changing world sooner and more easily, so we're happier and more successful, however we define what success is for us? The answer to those questions, Spencer felt, could best be found and expressed by taking the cheese story one crucial step further. Who Moved My Cheese showed its readers a pathway for adapting to change in their lives and work. Now, Out of the Maze provides the tools to help you step on to that path and not only adapt to change, but change your destiny.
Forward by Emerson Johnson, Austin Johnson, and Christian Johnson.
We are very happy that you are about to read Out of the Maze. From an early age, our father always enjoyed looking for ways to help people. When he was a teenager, he started a swim school to help other neighborhood kids swim. As a young adult, he trained as a surgeon, then discovered his true passion was writing. Through his writing, he felt he could be of service to a greater number of people. We miss him dearly and are incredibly proud of his contributions to the world. He himself often used the words and aphorisms in this story throughout both the highs and lows of his life. When he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, they helped him view his illness in a new light before he passed. They gave him the tools to embrace the change he was facing with love and gratitude. At the end of the story, we have shared a letter he wrote in the final stages of his illness, which we feel illustrates the extent to which he used these insights within his own life. We hope you enjoy this book and wish you the very best. The Johnson Family, July 2018.
A Seminar, Chicago. One crisp autumn day, a group of people met for another session of a weekly business development seminar. This was their next-to-last class, and for today, they had been assigned to read a little story about two characters, Hem and Haw, who each responded very differently to change. The book was called Who Moved My Cheese? Dennis, the seminar leader, called the class to order.
Okay, everyone, I want to start off with a question. Who the heck did move our cheese, and what are we going to do about it?
The students laughed. Dennis had a way of putting them at ease, yet they also knew he had some serious insights when it came to business. They began discussing the book. Some said they had gotten a lot out of the story, both in their work and in their personal lives. Some, though, had questions.
"I get the whole thing about adapting to change," said Alex, who worked in the tech industry. "But that's easier said than done. How exactly do we go about doing that?"
Mia, a doctor, agreed. "Some changes seem easy to go with, but some seem really difficult."
"And my job hasn't just changed," Alex added. "Seems like it's disappearing completely."
"Me too," said Brooke, who was in publishing. "Sometimes it feels like I don't even recognize the field I'm in anymore."
"Sometimes I don't recognize my life anymore," said Alex. The others laughed. "Seriously," he said, "so much is changing at once. I'd move with the cheese if I could, but half the time I have no idea where the cheese even went."
While this was going on, a young man in the back, Tim, raised a hand and said something. Dennis put up both hands to stop the action, and once everyone else had quieted down, he asked Tim to repeat his question so they could all hear it. Tim cleared his throat and said, "What about him?" Alex turned to look back at the young man. "What about him?" Tim said, "Whatever happened to him?" The room fell silent as everyone thought back to the story of Hem and Haw and asked themselves the same question.
"That's what I want to know," Tim continued, "because honestly, Hem is the character in the story that I most relate to. Haw seems to catch on and find his way. Meanwhile, Hem is sitting back there in his empty house alone and upset. Seems to me he wants to figure this all out just as much as Haw, but he's genuinely stuck. And I hate to say it, but that's pretty much how things are for me, too."
At first, nobody said anything. Then Mia spoke up.
"I know what you mean. That's kind of how my situation feels, too. I want to go where the cheese is, but I don't even know where to begin."
One by one, they realized how much they resonated with what the young man had said. In the story, the Haw character went out and found new cheese. He went with the change, and it worked out for him. But Hem was still lost. A lot of them felt that way themselves. All that week, Dennis thought about the young man and his question. When the class gathered the following week, he said,
"I thought a good deal about your questions from last week, about why Haw changed but Hem didn't, and what might have come next. I think there's more to the story, and I'd like to share it with you."
The place got so quiet you could hear a mouse blink. Everyone wanted to know, what happened to Hem?
"You probably remember the events of Who Moved My Cheese?" Dennis began.
The Original Story of Who Moved My Cheese. Once, long ago in a land far away, there lived four little characters who ran through a maze looking for cheese to nourish them and make them happy. Two were mice, named Sniff and Scurry, and two were little people, named Hem and Haw. The maze was a labyrinth of corridors and chambers, some containing delicious cheese, but there were also dark corners and blind alleys leading nowhere. One day, they all found their favorite cheese at the end of a corridor in Cheese Station C. After that, they kept returning to the same place every day to enjoy more of that wonderful cheese. It wasn't long before Hem and Hoar had built their whole lives around Cheese Station C. They had no idea where the cheese came from or who put it there. They just assumed it would always be there. And then, one day, it wasn't. When they saw that the cheese was gone, Sniff and Scurry set off right away in search of new cheese. But not Hem and Hoar. The two little people stood there stunned. Their cheese was gone. How was this possible? No one had warned them. It wasn't right. This was not the way things were supposed to be. They spent days being upset. Finally, Hoar noticed that Sniff and Scurry had run off into the maze, and he decided to follow the mice and go look for new cheese, too. "Sometimes, Hem, things change, and they are never the same again," said Hoar. "This looks like one of those times. Life moves on, and so should we." And so saying, he left. After a few days, Hoar showed up again at Cheese Station C with a few small pieces of new cheese and offered some to Hem. But Hem didn't think he would like this new cheese. It wasn't what he was used to. He wanted his own cheese back. So Hoar reluctantly set off again on his own to look for more new cheese. And that was the last Hem had seen of his friend Hoar. The New Story. What Happened Next. For days, Hem stayed in his home by Cheese Station C, pacing back and forth, fussing and fuming. He still expected more cheese to appear every day, and couldn't believe it when that didn't happen. He felt sure that if he stood his ground and waited it out, things would turn around. But they didn't. And why didn't Hoar come back? Hem came up with many different answers as he paced. At first he told himself, "He is coming back. He'll be here any day now, and things will go back to normal." But it had been any day now for days, and Hoar still wasn't here. As he grew still more upset, Hem's thoughts took a different direction. "He forgot about me. He's hiding from me. He's doing this on purpose. How could my friend betray me like this?" This last thought made Hem angry, and the more he focused on it, the angrier he got. He was angry that Hoar had left him alone, angry that the cheese was gone, and angry that nothing he did seemed to fix or improve the situation. Finally, he stopped and shouted, "It's not fair!" Worn out from pacing and being upset, Hem collapsed into his favorite armchair and began to brood. What if Hoar got lost? What if he'd been hurt, or worse? Hem forgot about being angry and just thought about his friend and about what terrible things might have happened to him. After a while, a different question occurred to him. Instead of, "Why hasn't Hoar come back?" he began to wonder, "Why didn't I go with him?" If he had gone with Hoar, he reasoned, maybe things would have been different. Maybe Hoar wouldn't have gotten lost. Maybe nothing bad would have happened to him. Maybe they would be eating cheese together right now. Why didn't he move with the cheese like his friend did? Why didn't he go with Hoar? The question gnawed at him, like a mouse gnawing on a piece of cheese. Meanwhile, he was getting hungrier and hungrier. Hem got up out of his chair again to do some more pacing, and he tripped over something on the floor. He bent down and picked it up. It was only after he blew off the dust that he recognized it. It was an old chisel.
He remembered the day when he held that chisel while Hoare whacked at it with a hammer until they made a big hole in the wall of Cheese Station C looking for new cheese. He could almost hear the sound of the hammer and chisel echoing off the walls of the room. Ping, ping, ping. He poked around on the floor until he found the hammer they had used and blew the dust off that, too. He hadn't realized till that moment just how long it had been since the two of them, Hem and Hoare, had gone looking for cheese together. He missed his friend, and he was starting to worry. All this time he still expected more cheese to appear, and for Hoare to come back. But there was still no cheese, and no Hoare. He had to do something. He could no longer stay home and wait. He had to go out into the maze and search for cheese. Hem rummaged around, found his running shoes, and put them on, the way he and Hoare used to do when they were first exploring for cheese. As he began to lace them up, he reviewed what he knew about the facts of the situation. He knew that he had to find more cheese. If he didn't, he would die. He knew that the maze was a dangerous place, full of dark corners and blind alleys that led nowhere, so he had to be very careful. Finally, he knew that if he was going to get through this, find more cheese and survive, it was up to him. He was on his own. He wrote all this down on a piece of paper and put it in his pocket, so he wouldn't forget. The facts of the matter. 1. I have to find more cheese. If I don't, I'll die. 2. The maze is a dangerous place, full of dark corners and blind alleys. 3. It's up to me. I'm on my own. Knowing the facts of the matter felt reassuring to him. At least he knew where things stood. He looked at the hammer and chisel. Maybe they would help him in his journey ahead, exploring the deeper recesses of the maze. He picked up the tools, put them in a bag, and slung it over his shoulder. Armed with the facts of the matter, and a strong hammer and chisel, Hem ventured out into the maze. For the next few days, Hem wandered through corridors, working his way deeper and deeper into the maze. The corridors were empty, except for a few small rocks here and there. No sign of cheese. Every time he came to a new chamber, he poked his head inside to scan for cheese, but every single chamber was empty. Every so often, he would come to a dark corner. When that happened, he would quickly turn back and head the other way. He was determined not to get lost. Now and then, he passed by a blind alley. He would peer down, just to make sure, and when he saw that it ended in nothing but a brick wall and darkness, he would hurry on his way. Here and there, Hem could see that Hoare had passed by that way, because Hoare had scratched notes on the corridor walls, each note framed with a drawing of cheese. They made no sense to him. Anyway, he was too hungry and too tired to stop and read. There was still no sign of any cheese at all. As he explored, Hem kept thinking about that question that had gnawed at him, turning it over in his mind again. Why didn't he go with Hoare? To be honest, Hem had always thought of himself as the brains of the pair. Hoare was a fine little person, and a good companion, with a cheery disposition and a good sense of humor. More of a co-pilot than pilot, though. That's what Hem always thought. Now, he wasn't so sure. Why didn't I go with Hoare when I had the chance? He murmured to himself. Was it because he was stubborn? Or just plain foolish? Or was he just a bad little person? Hem thought about that as he walked through corridor after corridor. Maybe this is punishment for something I did, he said out loud. The worse he felt about himself, the more his energy dropped, though he did not notice this. He was not even aware of the thoughts he was having about himself as they ran through his mind like little mice in a maze. Then he had a thought so terrible it froze him in his tracks. Maybe it's my destiny to run in circles in the maze forever. Hem felt his legs about to give out. He leaned against the corridor wall and slid to the ground. On the opposite wall was one of Hoare's notes. Old beliefs do not lead you to new cheese. Hem just shook his head. Oh, Hoare, he murmured. What were you thinking? Cheese is either there or it's not. Beliefs have nothing to do with it. For the first time, he wondered if Hoare might have gotten too weak to go on and simply given up. He wondered if that's what was happening to himself right now. All at once, he felt alone and afraid. Nothing was the way it used to be. Before, the maze was where Hem and Hoare had worked and had a social life. They both grew up there and built their lives there. The maze was Hem's world. But the maze had changed. Now it seemed as if everything was different. Hoare was gone, Sniff and Scurry were gone, the cheese was gone, and he was out wandering the corridors getting weaker and weaker. Hem didn't understand why all this was happening. The maze had become a dark and scary place. He curled up on the floor and fell into a troubled sleep. Hem stirred and felt his foot bump up against something on the floor where he lay. A few somethings. He sat up and looked at them. They were round little rocks, about the size of one of his fists. He picked one up and felt its smooth, shiny red surface. It wasn't a rock at all. It smelled good. In fact, it smelled so good, Hem wanted to take a bite. He shook himself. What was he thinking? Whatever this was, it certainly wasn't cheese. It might be dangerous. He looked around and almost jumped. There was another little person sitting nearby watching him. It wasn't Hoare, and not any of their old friends either. Hem had never seen this little person before. He didn't know whether to smile and say hello, or to be afraid. The little person lifted up one of the little red knot rocks and held it out toward Hem. "You looked hungry," she said. "But I can't eat this," said Hem. "It isn't cheese."
"Isn't what?"
"Cheese," Hem repeated. "It isn't cheese." She didn't say anything, just looked bemused. "Cheese is another word for food," Hem explained patiently. "Everyone eats cheese, even the mice."
"Ah,"
said the other little person. They were both quiet for a moment. Then she said,
"I don't. I've never even seen cheese."
Hem found this hard to believe. A little person who didn't eat cheese? Impossible. The stranger was still holding the little rock out toward Hem. He looked at it and shook his head. "Whatever it is, I can't eat it," he said. "I only eat cheese." He lay back down again, feeling hopeless. After a few moments, he half heard the stranger say,
"I'll bet you can do a lot more than you think you can."
But Hem had already drifted off again. When Hem opened his eyes a few hours later, he felt hungrier than he'd ever felt in his life. "It's dinner time," he thought. And then the reality of his situation came rushing back. No cheese. No dinner. He sat up. The stranger was gone, but the little red rocks were still there. He picked one up and smelled it again. It smelled sweet. Before he had time to think about what he was doing, he took a bite. It was crispy, but also juicy. Sweet, but tart. It tasted like no cheese he had ever eaten. He ate the whole thing. He couldn't help it.
He lay back and groaned.
"What have I done?" he said. "I ate a rock."
He was sure he was going to die. He drifted off to sleep once again, and for the first time in days, he slept all through the night. When he awoke the next morning, the stranger was there again, sitting on her haunches with her arms wrapped around her knees, watching him.
"You're not dead," she said.
"No," said Hem. "I'm not, am I?" In fact, he felt a little stronger. The stranger was holding out another rock to him. Hem took it and ate it. It certainly wasn't cheese, but it was tasty. And as he ate, he felt his energy returning, ever so slightly. The stranger talked to him while he ate his rock. Her name was Hope, and she lived nearby at a place called Fruit Station A. Fruit, she said, was what the rocks were called. She also said they were called apples. By this time, Hem was on his third apple. Hope told Hem that the fruit had been getting scarce lately, and that for the past few days she had been exploring different parts of the maze, looking for new supplies. "It used to be that every day when I woke up there would be more apples," she said, "but that's been happening less and less." "Actually," she said, pointing to the piece of fruit Hem was now eating, "that's my last one." Hem stopped mid-bite and looked at her.
"You mean they're gone?"
She nodded. "They just stopped showing up. I don't know why." Hem looked at his mostly eaten apple, then at Hope again.
"You gave me your last apple?"
Hope shrugged. "You looked hungry."
"I was," said Hem. "But aren't you hungry, too?"
"A little," she admitted. Hem thought about all the apples she had given him to eat and realized he'd never thanked her.
"Thank you," he said.
"You're welcome," she said. Hem shook his head, amazed.
"Eating these things actually made me feel better," he said. "I can't believe it."
Hope smiled and said, "Sure you can. It's not hard, if you just let go and try." This confused Hem. Just let go and try what? He had no idea what she was talking about. He knew one thing, though. He was still hungry. All this talk about eating reminded Hem why he was out here in the maze in the first place. Now that his strength was starting to return from eating the strange new food, it was time to go looking for cheese again. So far he had failed in his quest, and he knew exactly why that was.
"I just haven't tried hard enough," he explained. "What I need to do," he said, "is go explore the parts of the maze I haven't tried yet."
Hope shrugged.
"I'll go too, if that's okay with you."
Hope didn't yet see just how they were going to get out of their jam, but she had no doubt at all that they would. Hem nodded grudgingly. It couldn't hurt to have some company. As he got to his feet, he noticed again that curious note that his friend Hoare had scratched on the wall. "Old beliefs do not lead you to new cheese."
"Maybe not," he said to the note on the wall. "But I'll tell you what does lead to new cheese. Trying harder."
So saying, Hem slung his bag of tools over his shoulder, and the two set off, trundling down corridor after corridor, poking their heads into chamber after chamber, and carefully avoiding the dark corners and blind alleys. Every chamber they found was empty, but Hem had resolved not to give up. As they walked, Hem told Hope about the old days, about how he and Hoare and their friends Sniff and Scurry would go looking for cheese every day, and how it used to be abundant and easy to find, there for the taking. All they had to do was look up and down a few nearby corridors, and there it would be.
"Simpler times," he said,
and he fell silent as they walked on.
Times had changed,
Hem was not the same little person he used to be. He once was strong and proud, someone other little people looked up to because he was so sure of himself. But the disappearance of the cheese had changed all that. Events had taken their toll. He was no longer strong and no longer so proud. As he reflected on all this, it occurred to him that he felt less sure of himself than he used to. He could see that his usual confidence had been shaken. This was something new for him. He had never really noticed his own thoughts before, or taken a step back to consider how he looked at things. To him, how he saw things was just the way things were. As they walked the corridors, the two found a few crumbs of cheese here and there, enough to nibble on and slow the gnawing in Hem's stomach. Hope tried a few bits of cheese, too, and she liked it just fine. Every now and then they found an apple, just sitting on the ground by the wall, which they split between them. Between the nibbles of cheese and the occasional apple, it was just enough to get them back to their starting point, where they would rest up for the next day's search. Every day when they set out, Hem felt he had less energy than the day before. When they returned to the same spot again after hours of fruitless search, Hem would drop his bag of tools and slump down against the corridor wall, feeling even more exhausted. One day, as they returned, Hem felt so discouraged he didn't know if he could keep going much longer. All he could think about was how heavy his tool bag was. "That must weigh a lot," said Hope. "It's not that bad," said Hem. He didn't want to admit how much it weighed or how drained he felt. "Why do you bring it with you every day?" she asked. "It's for us to make holes in the wall," said Hem. He explained that if they found the right wall, he would ask Hope to hold the chisel, the way he used to do, and he would swing the hammer, the way Hoar used to do. "Ah," said Hope. Then she said, "Has that worked for you before?" "Of course it has," said Hem, though what he was thinking was, "She asks a lot of questions. This is the finest chisel money can buy." "What I mean is," said Hope, "does making holes in the wall actually find you more cheese?" Hem didn't answer. He felt offended. These were good tools. He put down the heavy bag with a loud clunk and sat back against the wall. Hem missed Hoar. He didn't like being way out here in the maze, so far from home. He wanted things to go back to the way they were. "You miss your friend," said Hope. It was a little unnerving how she always seemed to know what he was thinking. Hem shrugged. "I just wish things would go back to the way they were." Hope sat down next to him and leaned back against the wall, too. "I know," she said. She glanced over at Hem. "But I'm not sure that's how it works."
"What do you mean?" snapped Hem.
He was getting a little annoyed.
"I don't think things ever go back to how they were," said Hope. "Here's my thought, though. Maybe they can turn out better than they were."
Hem didn't see how.
"Our trying harder plan isn't working out, is it?" said Hope softly.
Hem didn't answer. He felt too miserable.
"Maybe we need a different strategy," she added.
Hem glanced over and saw that she was looking up at Hoar's sign, the one that said, "Old beliefs do not lead you to new cheese."
"What if we tried a new belief?" said Hope.
Hem shook his head. "You don't try a belief. Your beliefs are just there." Hope glanced over at Hem and cocked her head.
"What if you decided to change one?"
"That's not how it works," Hem explained. "Besides, I like my beliefs just the way they are. If I changed them, who would I be? I wouldn't be Hem."
He did not want to change or let go of his beliefs because he thought they were what made him who he was.
"Bet you'll change your mind," she murmured.
"Why would I do that?" Now Hem was getting irritated. "I like my mind just the way it is."
Hope shrugged again.
"I like it too, but we still haven't found any cheese."
Hem didn't have an answer for that.
They were both silent for a minute. Finally, Hope got to her feet and said,
"Well, good night, Hem. Sweet dreams. I'll see you in the morning."
Hem sat against the wall, frowning. He was thinking about what Hope had said about his hammer and chisel. Of course, putting holes in the wall wouldn't do them any good. Hadn't he already known that? So why was he lugging around these old tools? Because he didn't know what else to do, that's why. They would never find cheese. He would never find his friend, Haw. He would die here in this corridor with his useless bag of tools. Hem let out a very big, very long sigh, and then he asked himself the question that had nagged at him ever since his quest began. Why didn't I go with Haw? And with that, Hem began to cry. Before long, he fell asleep. That night, Hem had a dream. In his dream, he saw himself back in his home by Cheese Station C, pacing and fussing and fretting and fuming. Something was different. But what? Then he saw what it was. There were bars on the windows. It looked like he was in a prison. Looking in at himself through the bars, he saw how unhappy he was. In his sleep, he cried a little more. He woke up in the middle of the night, thinking about the dream. It baffled him. Why was he like that, a prisoner in his own house, missing his friend, yet refusing to go with him? Hem lay awake on his back for hours, thinking about this. He thought about it until dawn came. In the early light, he could just make out Haw's scratched note on the wall about old beliefs and new cheese. Maybe Haw was right, he said quietly. Thinking out loud helped him to make his thoughts clearer, especially the more difficult thoughts, like the ones he was having now. He thought about the day Haw left, so long ago now. Haw had tried to talk to Hem about what he thought they needed to do, and Hem had refused to listen. "I was sure I was right and Haw was wrong," he said. "But maybe I wasn't right. I didn't trust Haw, but I did trust my own thoughts." All at once, Hem sat up straight. Old beliefs. That's what Haw's note was about. But Hem had never stopped to think about what a belief was. Now he thought he knew. He clambered to his feet, picked up a sharp stone, and wrote his own new thought on the wall, next to Haw's. When he was finished, he drew a picture of one of Hope's apples around it, so he would remember that it was his note, and not Haw's. "A belief is a thought that I trust is true." That's all a belief was. A thought. But look at how much power it held. Why didn't he go with Haw to look for new cheese? Because Haw was looking at things differently, and Hem couldn't see what Haw saw. His own thoughts had kept him there in Cheese Station C because he trusted that they were true. He had believed that if he stayed and stood his ground, things would turn around. He had believed that Haw was going off on a fool's errand, and that he, Hem, knew better. His beliefs were keeping him trapped in his way of seeing things. That was why he didn't go with Haw. Suddenly he understood his dream. The bars on his windows were his old thoughts, thoughts he trusted were true, but which actually prevented him from venturing out into the maze.
His beliefs were holding him prisoner. He scratched out another new note on the wall and surrounded this one, too, with a drawing of an apple. An old belief can hold you prisoner. He pictured himself pacing back at home in Cheese Station C, and how he kept thinking that if he just waited, the cheese would start appearing again and things would go back to the way they were. That was another thought he trusted, wasn't it? Another belief that held him prisoner. So, did all beliefs do that? He thought back to the day he woke up and first saw Hope, and how she had held out an apple for him to eat. At first he was afraid to eat it, but then he ate it anyway. He had trusted her, and she gave him her last apple. She was a good friend to him. Hem thought that was a belief that served him well. He wrote another note on the wall. Some beliefs can hold you down. Other beliefs can lift you up. He thought back to Hope, saying, "What if we tried a new belief?" What had he replied? "You don't try a belief. That's not how it works." Maybe Hope was right, though. Maybe you could change an old belief and choose a new one. He tried to think of an old belief right now, but he couldn't come up with one. This whole belief business was still a new way of thinking for him, and he wasn't sure how it all worked. He looked up at the notes he had just made, with the drawing of the apple around each one. He remembered the first time Hope had tried to offer him a piece of fruit, and how he'd said, "Whatever it is, I can't eat it. I only eat cheese." That was what he'd thought, and he'd trusted that thought. But it turned out it wasn't true at all, because he ate the apple and felt better. So cheese wasn't the only kind of food he could eat. And now he thought differently. What did Hope say? "I bet you'll change your mind." And she was right. He had. He wrote quickly on the wall again. "You can change your mind. You can choose a new belief." Hem noticed that he felt totally energized, and this surprised him. In the past, Hem did not like it when someone challenged his beliefs. He resisted changing his mind and felt offended when anyone suggested that what he was thinking or saying might not be true. But now, instead of feeling bad that he'd been wrong, he felt excited by what he was discovering. He realized that before he had resisted changing his mind because he felt threatened. He had not wanted to change his beliefs because he liked his beliefs. He had thought they made him who he was. But now he saw that wasn't so. He could choose a different thought. He could choose a different belief. And he was still Hem. "You are not your belief. You are the person who chooses your beliefs." "So here's the real question," he said, pacing back and forth as he thought out loud. "Now that I know what a belief is, and how much power it holds, and how easily I can choose a new belief, what should I do?" He stopped pacing. The answer was obvious. He should use this new knowledge to help him finish their mission. He should go find more cheese and apples. The problem was, they'd already tried everything. There wasn't anywhere else to look. There weren't any more apples or cheese to be found. They were out of options. It was an impossible quest. And if that was the case, then there wasn't really any point in trying. But what if the impossible part was just another belief? Could he change it? He felt a tingle run up his spine. What would you do if you believed it was possible? "Hang on, though," Hem told himself. "Let's be reasonable. This belief business could go only so far,
After all, there were limits here, right? Hem held that thought for just a moment. Then he took a breath, let go, and felt it begin to change. He looked at the sharp stone in his hand and wrote once more on his wall of notes. There are no limits to what you can believe. When Hope showed up a few hours after dawn, she found him sitting up, polishing his running shoes and humming to himself. She hardly recognized this new Hem. When she left him the evening before, he was tired, defeated, and grumpy. Now he looked more rested than she'd ever seen him. She looked at the series of new notes on the wall, each one surrounded by the outline of an apple. "My, my," she said, "you've been a busy little person." Hem nodded.
"Yep."
"What happened?" she said. He looked up at her. "I changed my mind," he said.
"Good," she said.
She looked at all his notes again, then back at him.
"About what?"
Hem put his shoes down and got slowly to his feet. He was still stiff and sore from dragging around that heavy bag of tools.
"I haven't figured that part out yet," he said.
Hem knew that what he'd been doing before wasn't working. He needed to do something completely different, and that meant he needed to look at things completely differently. He needed to change his mind and choose a new belief. But what belief, exactly? He didn't know. Hope came over and sat down next to him again.
"Mind if I ask you something?" she said.
She could see Hem was deep in thought and probably didn't want her to disturb his concentration, but this was something he needed to hear. "You said your cheese just stopped showing up, like my apples?"
"That's right," said Hem.
"Here's what I'm wondering. Before, when your cheese was still appearing fresh every day, where did it come from?" Hem started feeling annoyed again. Hope asked so many questions. And what did it matter where the cheese came from? It was gone now. He stopped. Hem looked over at Hope and thought about the question she had just posed. Where did the cheese come from? Had he ever asked that question before? Had Hoare? He thought back, sorting through all the memories of times they had spent together, looking for cheese, finding cheese, and enjoying cheese. Had they ever even once asked themselves this question? They hadn't. He was sure of it. Hem felt his pulse quicken. He didn't know why, but this felt important. He looked at Hope again, all traces of irritation gone now. "Where did the cheese come from?" he repeated slowly. "You know, I think that might be a very good question." Hope's eyes sparkled. "Does that mean you've got the answer?"
"Well, no," said Hem, "but it still seems like a good question. If we keep asking it, maybe we'll find a good answer."
They were both quiet for a moment. Then Hope looked over at Hem and said,
"I wonder what's outside the maze."
Hem stared at her.
"What's outside the maze?"
He shook his head in disbelief. "There's nothing outside the maze."
What a thought. Outside the maze? That made no sense at all. The maze was all there was. There wasn't any outside.
"Ah," said Hope. She paused, then looked again at Hem and said,
"Are you sure?"
"Of course I'm sure," said Hem. They looked at each other, and then they both burst out with the same words at the same time.
"A thought you trust is true."
Another belief, and it seemed to Hem that this might be the kind that held him down rather than lifting him up. Could he change his mind about this one, too? Hem shut his eyes and tried to imagine a place outside the maze. In his imagination, though, All he could see was the maze itself, just as he had always known it. He opened his eyes again and shook his head.
It's no good. I'm not seeing it.
He looked at Hope. All I can see is what's in the maze. I can't picture anything outside it. The maze, after all, was all Hem knew. He had been hemmed in all his life. Hope looked at him thoughtfully. Then she said, "What if you just believe it first? Maybe then you'll see it."
That's crazy, was what Hem was about to say. Instead, he said, "That's a great idea." If there really were no limits to what he could believe, then why not give it a try?
He closed his eyes again and began to think. There is something amazing outside the maze. Hem took a big breath and felt the new thought fill up his mind, and as he did, he felt himself trusting it. He opened his eyes and wrote another note. Sometimes you have to believe it before you can see it. He looked at Hope and said,
"Let's go find out what's outside the maze."
She smiled. "Sounds good to me. Maybe we'll learn where your cheese comes from." He nodded, excited at this thought. "And your apples, too." Hope got to her feet. "I'm in," she said. "How are we going to do it?"
"I have no idea," said Hem.
And he truly didn't. Where would they look? He couldn't imagine. They'd already looked everywhere. Hem remembered when he and Hor used to go looking for cheese. They always avoided the dark corners and blind alleys. He explained this to Hope, then waited to see if she would come up with another good question. And, of course, she did. She said, "What if those dark corners are not all dark?"
"How can they not be dark?" said Hem. "After all, that's why they're called dark corners."
Hope reached up and took down a thick candle from a sconce on the wall.
"Not if we bring a candle."
Hem was already up and starting down the corridor when he noticed Hope hadn't moved. She was looking down at his sack of tools.
"Are you bringing your hammer and chisel?"
Hem looked down at the tools, then slowly shook his head.
"I don't think so."
"Good," said Hope. She smiled. "I don't think it works to launch a new quest with old baggage." They went back into the corridors they had already explored many times, only now they went looking for dark corners instead of steering clear of them. It felt strange to him, seeking out the very thing he had always avoided, but he decided that feeling strange was probably part of the process. Soon they came to an impossibly dark corner and stopped. They turned into the darkness, and Hope lifted her candle to light up the little passageway. Hem's heart sank. The candlelight shone just far enough to reveal that the passageway ended in nothing but darkness and a flat brick wall.
"Another blind alley," he said.
Hope looked thoughtful.
"That's what I'm thinking, too," she said. "But what if that is not a thought we should trust?
After all," she added, "not all dark corners are dark. Maybe not all blind alleys are blind." Hem liked that thought. He decided to see if he could hold on to it and trust it enough that it would turn into a belief. He closed his eyes and tried once more to use his imagination. For several long moments, nothing happened, until, just as he was about to give up, he caught a glimpse of something flickering at the edge of his thoughts, as if he was seeing, if not a light, at least the possibility of a light. He felt his heart give a leap. Hem opened his eyes again and looked at Hope.
"Let's try it," he said.
The two walked slowly into the passageway, both feeling nervous as they walked. Hem couldn't help thinking, The maze is a dangerous place. He had known this all his life, ever since he was a young boy. The maze is a dangerous place. The thought kept whispering in his mind. But what if that was not a thought he should trust was true? He stopped walking, and Hope stopped too, waiting to see what he would say. "Just because you think it," he murmured to himself, "doesn't mean you have to believe it." You don't have to believe everything you think. Hope didn't say anything. She understood what was going through his mind. They continued walking. Sure enough, as they got closer, Hem saw that there was a tiny light at the very end of the alley. It was the candle itself, reflected in a small window set into a door. They opened the door and stepped inside a small chamber, much like the many chambers they had already explored. In the dim light of Hope's candle, they looked all around the bleak little room, four corners, four walls, nothing else. It was completely empty. Disappointed, Hem turned to go, but Hope stood still, watching him, as if waiting for him to say something.
"What?" he said. "It's empty."
"Looks that way," she said, and she waited some more. So Hem thought about it, and then he asked himself a question. If not all dark corners were dark, and not all blind alleys were blind, then could it possibly be that not all empty chambers were empty? On second thought, he said, "Shall we take a second look?"
Hope smiled and took his hand.
"Let's," she said. They walked along the first blank wall, turned the corner, and walked the second blank wall, turned another corner, walked halfway along the third wall, and stopped.
"Do you feel that?" whispered Hem.
"I feel it," Hope whispered back. Cool air wafted across their legs. Hem bent down and sniffed at it. It smelled incredibly fresh. They got down on their hands and knees, and down at knee level, they found an opening in the wall, just big enough for a little person to pass through. Hem glanced over at Hope and gestured with one arm. "After you." Hope crawled into the tunnel. Hem followed. With Hope leading the way, they crawled and crawled until they both began to see a light at the end of the tunnel. The light grew brighter and brighter, and then, all at once, Hope and Hem emerged into a brilliant light, so dazzling that at first they couldn't see a thing. They stood upright, blinking, and inhaled the clean, fresh air. As their eyes got used to the light, they looked around. They were standing in a beautiful green meadow with a cool, gentle breeze blowing. Hem had never seen nor felt anything like it before. He looked up at the ceiling, if that's what you could call it. It was so blue and so high up. And there was a dazzling golden light up there, brighter and warmer than any light he had ever known, too intense to look at directly. Hem was speechless. He took a deep breath, put his hands in his pockets, closed his eyes, and turned his face up to feel the warmth. His fingertips felt something in his pocket. He pulled it out and looked at it. It was a piece of paper. At the top it said, "The facts of the matter." He began to read, and then he began to laugh. Hope smiled, puzzled. She had never seen Hem laugh before. She didn't think she'd ever seen him even smile.
"What?" she said. "What does it say?"
Hem showed Hope the piece of paper. "It says, I have to find more cheese, and if I don't, I'll die." He looked at Hope. "But I found apples instead, and ate those, and I didn't die." She looked at him.
No, you didn't. I knew you wouldn't.
It also says the maze is a dangerous place, full of dark corners and blind alleys.
She nodded.
And it was a dark corner that led to the blind alley that brought us here.